How would you like to be able to have guaranteed prosperity and go from zero to $100 million in 3 months? It sounds incredible, and Mayor Ezra has done it. So, Mayor, please tell us, how can entrepreneurs obtain guaranteed prosperity so that they can go to the next level in their lives?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Okay, hi. So there are a few basic, very important things that you need to know. And if you understand those things, you'll need to be a genius to fail. It's impossible to fail. The first thing that you need to know is that you need to have a very, very specific, defined, written end result. And then you need to go and fall in love with what you need to do in order to get those results. Most people do what they feel, do what they think, do what they want, and all of that will always bring you to a failure. You need to prioritize the future more than now. You need to make sure that now you're willing to do anything with love, anything, anything. If I need, I'll give you a short story so it will make sense. I was in the Israeli army. I finished the Israeli army, basically no money, went to the Far East, zero money. Just before I went to the Far East, in order to go to the Far East, I needed to have $6,000. It's nothing today, but at that time, for me, it was a lot. And I found a work to take care of an old guy, a very old guy. I did it with so much love, I cleaned his ass with the most love you can imagine. Nothing was too much for me. Nothing was stinking. Nothing was impossible. Nothing was disgusting. I was just in love with the action because I had a very specific target. I wanted to fly to the Far East. I wanted to make $6,000, and that's it. And I've done it so well that his son, that was extremely successful, he came to me and said, look, I've never seen something like that. You are very young. You are not. You don't have any experience in business. You're going to manage one of my businesses. So when you're really putting everything into something, but with love, not because you need to do it, not because you feel like doing it, but because you decide, I'm falling in love with what I'm doing, in order to get the result, you will have the result. Most of the people don't do what it takes because they don't love it. They have to do it. I work 20 hours per day because I love every second. I love what I'm doing because I have a very specific end results and I make myself love. Love is something that you create. It's not some kind of a chemical accident. It is something you create. I can fall in love with a chair or with a person because love is something you create. How do I know it? Because you find a beautiful lady and you fall in love with her, and after a while you don't. So it's you that creating it. And on the other hand, a mother fall in love with a child even before she met him. It's something you create. So I define love as the urge to be together for no reason at all. I want to be together with my work for no reason at all. I don't have like a reason. I have an end result that I want to achieve. But what I do is that the second thing that's extremely important, you need to be certain on the verge of insanity, like so certain that no one can tell you otherwise. Because when you know with no reason. If there is a reason, you don't know. You understand maybe. I'm talking about knowingness. I know what I need to do. I just know. So you have this almost insane certainty. And you make sure that this certainty is never alloyed, never hurt, never damaged. You don't let anyone get near your certainty. It's more important than your immediate life. That's what my viewpoint. So now you have a target. You'll fall in love with what you do. You have this certainty that you know what you're doing. And probably the most important quality is that there is no such thing as problem in my life. Nothing is a problem. Nothing. I never been worried for a second. I will never be worried. I don't mind if I alive or dead or some nothing. I know that whatever will happen, I'll manage. You shoot me, not a problem. I lose the body, I'll get another one. They're giving it for free. I don't even have to pay for it. So that's the general viewpoint. And once you have that, you can start a business. If you don't have that, you cannot start a business. You're going to lose.
Thank you.
And once, yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
please continue. Sorry.
No, not a problem. You...
No, I prefer if you continue. It's okay.
Okay, not a problem. So once you have that, you can just start the business. This is the prerequisite to starting a business. And the next thing you have to do, once you have that, you need to realize that a business is composed of 7 specific areas. And you need to be an expert in all of them. Usually a person is a good dentist or a good salesman or good in something. And he learned very well this one area, so he started a business. But he has 1 out of 7, which means he's got 14% chances of success. I'm talking to a guy that he's a dance teacher. He is the best dance teacher in the universe. He invested in that probably now 30 years. And I asked him, how long did you invest in learning marketing? And he said, well, I watched a few videos on YouTube. So what happened when a person that watched a few videos on YouTube come to learn from you dancing? How good he is? Not so good. That's the problem. So you need to learn, because knowledge results in control and control results in income. So if you have those principles, if you operate on those basic principles, it's impossible for you not to be successful. And the money is the result of how certain you are about your ideas. Money is actually the manifestation of your ideas in the physical universe. So if you take a credit card, it's just an idea. It's worth 5 cents. But the idea, together with the confidence that you created in other people's mind, bring about money. I'm buying a massive purchase of apartments in Dubai, and I'm going with this idea, and the bank give me a credit of $1 billion. It's the idea. I don't give them $1 billion. I give them 30% of it, but they give me $1 billion credit. Why? Because the idea that I gave them, and they trust me, and they trust that the idea, I created a trust around the idea, and they give me endless amount of money, endless. That's
fascinating. Okay, so tell us first, are you saying that to be successful and to have guaranteed prosperity, it doesn't really matter what you do, as long as you fall in love with it, because you know that the end goal is to have prosperity and to have, you know, wealth for your family?
Yeah. So you need to arrive to a specific end result, very specific end result, something measurable. For example, if I say I want wealth, it's not a specific end result, because what does it mean, wealth? Wealth for me today is not what was wealth for me when I was 20 years old. Wealth for me at 20 years old was $6,000. That was rich. I was very rich when I got $6,000 in my mind, yes? So it has to be a very specific end result. So the most of the people, if you ask them what's the end result of what you're doing, they will tell you what they do. So for example, what is the end result of a teacher? What is the end result of a teacher?
To teach the students to be self, to be independent.
Exactly. So you gave me the beingness to be independent, and to teach is what they do. But it's not the end result. It's not what they actually have as a result of what they're being and what they're doing. The end result of a teacher should be student who duplicated the material taught and use it successfully to improve their life and the life of everyone else, bringing about an improved society. That's the end result of a teacher. What she does, she teach, she talk, she fix, she correct, she loves, she do millions of things. But the end result is very specific. What's the end result of a business owner? Any business owner?
To create wealth and to impact, hundreds or thousands of people with the product or service that they are offering.
That's what he's doing. And if he's doing that, he will go bankrupt because impact how? With profit or without?
Profit.
Impact how? Okay, but it's not defined. So the end result is actually viable, which means making more money than spending. Expanding, which means it's also growing. Prosperous, which means with a lot of profit. Organization with increasing money to owner's reserve and a very well-paid staff. If you don't know that this is your end result, if you don't understand that this is what you are after as an owner of a business, you'll never be successful because you'll have something that you need to be or something that you need to do. It's not giving you the end result. Without understanding the end result, you will see that if you look at your calendar 1 year back, you had a million of actions and maybe two results. Why? Because the results are not exactly accurate. So people go through life being all kind of things, doing all kind of things and having nothing. Because be, do without have is useless. The difference between a robot and a person have what he wants to achieve and he doesn't need to learn what to do. He knows what he needs to do. Because I understand this is the mountain, so whatever will come, there's some barriers along the way and I will go around them and I will figure out what I need to do because I see the mountain. A robot don't have a mountain. A robot know that he is a robot and he know what he need to do. And that's most people. They do because they did not start with the very exact, not goal, not purpose, end result. Product, something that can be measured. What does it mean, wealth? Wealth is not an end result. You understand? Because wealth, okay, so I'm wealthy, but dead. So how does it help? I'm wealthy and I'm sick. I'm wealthy and I'm unhappy. So if you really understand that what everyone missing is, they don't know where they're going to. There is no destination. There is just walking. They're just wandering through life. They never define a destination. And if there's no destination, there are no prior destination on the way to the main destination. So you never arrive and you get worried and depressed and anxiety because all of those feelings are just failure to arrive to a destination. Because every time you arrive to a destination, you say, oh, wow, I'm good. So now I can improve. I can go to the next destination. But if you don't, you get anxiety and worry and problems because you don't have the next destination. And so you're not winning, so you're not succeeding. Success is the sum, or I define success as the sum of all validated improvements. So you are unsuccessful and you improve and you improve and you improve and you improve and you improve. And one day you say, oh, I know how to do it. I'm successful. Success is the sum of all validated improvement, but because people don't have a destination, so they don't have success. So instead of finding improvement, they're finding what's wrong. And if you find what's wrong, everything will be wrong. And if you find what's right, everything will be right.
Thank you. So how can someone create an appropriate end result that will lead them towards wealth? And you know, prosperity and love and health and everything that they truly desire.
So you need to sit down and define, right, how can you help? The end result is really, how can I help? How do I help? And help do not mean how do I give something. That's not help, that's a handout. Help mean how can I give you something that has enough value for you And so it will ignite you to almost uncontrollably wanting to give me back. If you don't give me back, it's not help, it's a handout. Every nation that fails because someone gave it without demanding something in return. So you need to sit down and write, okay, how can I help? And then once you write, how can I help? How many people will it help? The more people it will help, the more wealthy you will eventually be. So once you define how can you help, you can figure out, okay, what do I need to be in order to do what needs to be done to achieve this thing? So for example, I defined at the beginning that my product is solving a very specific problem that I saw. I saw a problem in South Africa of drivers of fleets of vehicles that steal fuel. So in South Africa, it's a very big country. There are lots of trucks, and the drivers of those trucks used to steal fuel. And the owners of the companies that own those fleets couldn't make money. And the people that needed to do the transport because of that had to lose money, and they got charged a lot of money on the transport. There was a massive problem. And I decided I'm going to solve this problem. Well, in order to solve this problem, I needed to figure out a technological and an administration solution. So I needed to become an engineer. I needed to know how to solve this problem technically. And I went ahead and done what needs to be done in order to come up with a solution. And I came up with a solution for the problem, and I made $100 million. Because the problem was so big, and I solved a problem. I helped so many people, millions of people, lots of families, a lot of help. And because this help was so big, I decided what I need to become, and then I did what I need to do in order to bring that help about, and you get paid for the help that you supply.
Thank you. So how did you phrase this end result so we can all understand what's a better way of phrasing the actual end result so that we can all, you know, have better results, I guess?
I had two main products. The first product is oil companies who maximize the return through as a result of providing their clients a handling situation of fuel fraud, and for the fleets, handled, eliminated, totally fixed, problem of stealing fuel. So basically, for the oil company, I got them a lot of clients because I gave this system to one oil company. So that oil company said to the fleet owners, look, if you become my customer, I save you 36%. How do you save me 36% on fuel cost? I eliminate the fuel fraud. So I had one customer, which is the oil company. And the second customer, the fleet owners, I said, look, I'm going to solve that problem that called fuel fraud. I'm going to give you a better price from the oil company, but more importantly, you're not going to lose 36% of the highest cost of running your business, which is fuel. And of course, they all say, yes, I want it right now. I want it. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And I said, no problem. I'll give it to you. You pay me, I'll pay you. And everyone is. So if I save you 36% and you give me 3%, it's not a problem for you, because I make you 33% profit, yes? And so I save you a lot of money and you pay me 3%. And because there are tens of thousands of trucks in South Africa and each one of them consume a lot of money, I print money, they print money, the oil company print money, everyone is happy.
Thank you. So how does someone manage to grow a company to $100 million if they're afraid of criticism and if they're afraid of being visible and showing up in the world?
Okay, good. So first of all, we need to understand what does it mean, fear. Fear is just an unwillingness to communicate. Fear is an unwillingness to communicate, yes? So if you communicate with what you're afraid of, you will not be afraid. So when someone is afraid, it is only because he's unwilling to communicate. How do you raise the communication with someone? You go and you study this thing that you're afraid of. You get knowledge about the thing that you're afraid of, and you will see that once you understand something, you stop being afraid. You can say that science has the purpose or the product of eliminating, because people who used to be very, 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 very afraid of many things, here comes science and say, okay, we can understand it. And so people stop being afraid of eclipse, and people stop being afraid of all kind of things because they understand it. So you are not, cannot be afraid of something that you can actually face, with something that you can communicate with, something that you understand. You're afraid only of those things that you're unwilling to communicate with. So all you have to do is to gain the ability to communicate with the thing you're afraid of, and you do that by knowledge.
For me, I find that quite interesting, because I find my family, when they, you know, when they put me down, I find that hard to recover from. And what would you say to that? Like, how would I communicate better to, like, not be, you know, put down or depressed over it?
So let's say that your family put you down, and let's say I'm you and you're the family. Tell me something. Tell me something. So, I'll first demonstrate it, and then I'll explain it.
Okay, so you will never amount to anything, and you will never, you know, do all these, you know, positive things that you want to do. You're just like in this bubble of positivity, and you'll never amount to anything.
Okay, thank you for telling me that. I totally understand that I will never amount to anything, and I will never do those things that I said that I will do. I know that you're saying it because you want to help me. Thank you.
That's it.
What? No, try to be them. What will they say?
Well, you're just in this cloud of positivity, and, you know, you come to the real world and, you know, put your feet on the ground and, you know, like, be like realistic. You'll never, you know, become a billionaire, or you'll never, like, impact all these people. And come on, like, who do you think you are?
You are. I totally, totally see what you're saying, that I'm just this kind of a person that feeling good, and I will never be a millionaire, and I will just I need to put my feet on the ground. You are totally, I can 100% see what you're saying.
That's it.
You try to get, what will they do? Tell me, what will they do?
Well, you should just repeat. They would just repeat the same thing. Like,
so repeat it. You just do a conversation with me like it's not an interview. Do a conversation with me like you are my mother.
Come on, Lily, who do you think you are? Like, you need to put your feet on the ground, and you're just, you know, like, you know, going around the world and, you know, bullshitting all these people about, you know, big goals that you have, and, you know, wanting to impact the world. And you have to put your feet on the ground, and you'll never achieve any of that. Look at you, like, you're, you know, you've achieved next to nothing. And, you know, who cares about, you know, you speaking around the world and whatever, who cares about that? Like, nobody cares about that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for telling me. I know you want to help me. So I totally understand that you're saying that I need to put my feet on the ground, and I will never achieve anything, and I'm just going around the world and speaking to people, and who am I kidding? I totally, totally got it. Thank you for telling me.
Well, I'm not sure you got it, because if you're just going to continue to be, you know, positive and just, you know, like, just be in this bubble of positivity that nobody cares about, and, you know, like, you'll be like this person that just talks about massive goals, and you'll never do any of that. You know that, right? Like, you should just become a teacher, or, you know, like, you know, come to the real world, like, you know, work something like a stable job, and, you know, do something, you know, realistic, that not like these, all this bullshit that you're doing every day.
Okay, so I really understand that you want me to be realistic, and I mustn't do all these things that seems to you like bullshit that I'm doing every day, and maybe I should get a job. I can totally 100% see that, and I know you care for me. So really, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You've always been looking after me, and you always do what good for me. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think we're getting anywhere with this. I'm not sure you're really getting what I'm saying.
I do get what you're saying 100%. I really understand. I really understand. You want me to put my feet on the ground. You want me to not just be with this positivity. You want me to get a job, maybe being a teacher, something more real. I really 100% understand it. Do you understand that I understand it?
Yes.
Okay, I don't so think I do understand
because
it.
You really should, you know, look for a job, look, you know, look in the ads in the paper. You should, like, you know, do something real with your life, not like all this bullshit.
I understand I should look for a job, look at the ads, do something real with my life, not just this nonsense. I totally, 100% understand it. Do you understand that I understand it?
Yes.
And you, and I know that you do it because you love me and only because you love me.
Yes, of course I do.
Okay, good. So I know that you love me and I know that you want me to do only those things that are good for me.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Thank you. There's no mom better than you in the universe. You're the most amazing mom. Whatever I do, even if I do all of this positivity, you still love me, you still support me, you still tell me a million times what I should do. It is admirable. You are the best. There's no one better than you. You're really the best mom, because never mind how many mistakes I do or what I attempt to do, you always, always try to show me the right way. You really try to help me. I know.
Yes. Yes, I do that.
What can she
do? I'm sorry, what did you say?
What can she do? You understand? I totally understand her. So what I've done is the following. Number one, the most important things for a person that criticizes you is they criticize you because they want to help you.
Yeah. Yes.
So I know that my mom loves me. So she criticized me again and again and again, only because she doesn't know that I understand. So she wants to be understood. Actually, it's something that she wants. It's something personal that she wants. She wants to know that you understand her. So I explained to her many times that I understand her. I repeat what she said, and I asked, do you really see that I understand you? And only once I saw that she fully, fully, fully understand me, I start to admire her. And once I start to admire her, she will have to melt.
Okay, so then what about if you are afraid of criticism from the world, like social media and, you know, people who don't understand you, let's say?
Okay, the same thing. When someone write to me in social media, what you say is so stupid. You know what I tell him?
What?
I generally says, thank you for trying to help me. Can you explain more my stupidity? And they say, yes, you did that, I say, okay, thank you for taking all the time to explaining to me how stupid I am. I really appreciate your time. I really love it. Thank you. I really see your viewpoint. I understand. And they say, wow, you're so nice. And they all of a sudden I become nice and they forgot that I'm stupid. Why? Why?
Okay.
Why? Why? Let me explain why. This is a problem. A problem is force counter force. Two people pushing against each other. So it takes two people to create a problem, but it takes only one person to solve, because if I don't push against you, you cannot create a problem against me. If you tell me, you know, you're stupid, and I say, wow, that's a good observation. Very well done. You probably have a lot of experience to recognize who is stupid and who is not. What can you do? You tell me that I'm stupid. Okay. It's just a word. It has no force. It means nothing. What people say, what people write means zero. What important is what you put into this word. Because if I tell you in a language that you don't understand that you are stupid, it means nothing. So it's not the word that has value. It is what value you give to the world.
Thank you. What about if you did some action that they disliked? It's not that they said that you are stupid, but you did something that they perceived as wrong that wasn't true, for example. Let's say sometimes people invent stuff. And, you know, like one lady, for example, invented that I told her kids were ugly. And what I said was, are your kids as lovely as you? And she said that I said that her kids were as ugly as her, which I would never say. Right? So, like, how would you kind of...
I would say you are 100% right. If I would say that, you should burn me on the stake right now. And if I say that, this is really so wrong. It is so, so wrong to say something like that. I don't understand how any sane person will say something like that about children, regardless how they look. And your children, I just look, they look amazing and beautiful. So anyone that will say that, including myself, should be burned on the stake right now if he did say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I just said, if I say that, what would she say?
Well,
I
did tell her that this exact same thing, but she
you
still
did not
said,
tell her this exact. You did not tell her this exact same thing. I'm willing to give you $1 million right now if you show me that you told her this same, exact same thing.
Well,
I can pay you right now. This is a legal agreement. Show me. You didn't.
Well, it was very, very similar. What I said was, anyone who said that.
You know what's the difference between an expert and not an expert? A millimeter.
Yeah.
Very similar is very different. Very similar is different. What bring result is when I shoot, and if I don't hit you, I just missed a 0.1 degree from 100 meter, and I miss in a mile. So it has to be accurate. Because if I said within this thing one word that will make her wrong, that's it. It will not work.
Yes,
one word.
What I said was that I'm so sorry if anyone had said this kind of word. You know, it makes a lot of sense why you would be upset, because anyone should be crazy to say that. I would never say that. And I'm sorry if
that's
how
the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem that you say, I will never do that. Because now there's a problem. She said you do that and you say, I will never do that. You're calling her a liar. I did not call her a liar. I just said, no one will do that. Anyone will do that. Nothing to do with me. Because if I say I did not do it in any remote way, I'm calling her a liar. And now the argument is not anymore if I said that or not. Now the argument is if I called her a liar. And she will answer and you will answer and the argument will change again. So we are very far from the original argument. I keep it on point, on the original argument. I just say, this is terrible. I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. I always agree with you. I agree with you. I can see that. I can see 100%. I don't give you any push against. And if you really realize that, you'll see that any problem you ever had is someone convinced you to push against them.
Mm-hmm.
Any problem you ever had, the customer tell you the price is expensive. Usually I said, no, it's very expensive. It's very expensive. You are right. You are totally 100% right. It's so expensive that it's like unbelievable. We cannot argue anymore about the point that it's expensive. We agreed. I agree with you. I actually accentuate it. I'm making it more expensive. It's very expensive. I'm agreeing with you. Now, if I agree with you, what will you argue with me about? So you have no choice but to find something that you agree with me with.
So where do you go from there when the client says, okay, this thing is too expensive? Because that will be also the point of you kind of going to $100 million in, you know, in no time. You need to become a...
Yeah, it's very simple. So I said that the principle is, I said that I agree with you, and then the customer will start to find what's right. And I will tell him, so you told me that fuel fraud costs you 36% every year. And that's your biggest expense. You say yes. And you want to handle that. Yes. Okay. So let's close it. So I go back to his problem, because now it's not a problem. The price is not a problem. I agree with him that it's expensive. I show him. So if you try to solve the problem of price and the problem of price did not solve, it is because earlier you did not solve another problem and earlier you did not solve another problem. So you started to argue with this lady. She think that you say something. If you start to argue about, I did not say that, and she will say yes, and then you did not understand me. And then you arguing about a lot of things and not the initial point. The same thing with the price. Before I even go to the price, I make sure that I explain to him the value and I get to an agreement with him that he needs to handle that. And if not, he's dead. So when we get to the price and he tells me that it's expensive, I say, yes, you are right. 100%. It's very expensive. However, the problem that you told me cause you much more damage than the cost. Do you agree? Yes. Okay, so do you want to solve the problem or not? If you don't want, I would suggest you don't buy. But if you want to solve the problem, I suggest you pay me more than what I suggest so I can give you even more value.
Thank you. So for someone who wants to go from zero to $100 million in 3 months, or, you know, let's say in a year, how would they actually have this mindset shift that will allow them to do that, to kind of come up with this amazing idea that will impact millions of people, or, you know, will impact enough people so much so that they will make this kind of money?
Knowledge bring control, because the mindset, what they actually mean, they don't actually want to change their mind because they don't know where is their mind. So the problem is not to change your mind, because how do you change your mind? It's something that you don't have really control over. Where is your mind? Yes. How do you change it? Where is the screws? So you maybe can screw your mind, but you cannot, you don't find the screws of your mind and fix it. It's not there. So what do you do? You need knowledge, and knowledge bring control over specific issues. So if you have an issue with confidence, you need knowledge about confidence. If you have issues with the relationship, you need knowledge about relationship. And how do you know if the knowledge is real knowledge or false knowledge? Does it bring results right now? The moment that you start. So if I tell you knowledge about relationship, someone tell you something, the only things he want is to be understood. So from now on, all you do, you understand the person. You don't agree with him, you understand. Anything they tell you, they tell you you're beautiful, you understand. They tell you you're ugly, you understand. They tell you you're smart, you understand. They tell you you're stupid, you understand them. You will see that all of a sudden, because you understand them, they will want to understand you, which means they would want to help you. So this is a principle. If you understand those principles, if you understand this knowledge and you really make it your own and you drill it, you see that there is nothing that is not under your control. And the reason you don't have things, the reason you don't have money, the reason you have what you don't want to have, worries, the anxiety, blah, 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 is because, not because you don't know, but because you know wrong. You have a lot of bad data. It's not that you don't have knowledge, but you have broken knowledge. You believe that the universe will give you something. What a piece of nonsense. The universe is something that dead. The universe don't give to anyone anything. If you go to a stone and ask the stone to give you something, or the air or the water or the anything like that, not even energy don't give you something, because you need to generate the energy for the energy to have any value. So people that says they're waiting for the universe to show up and give them something, they're just defeated. They are actually sitting there in a defeat. And they say, well, I am defeated, so I hope that the stones will give me something. What is a universe? A universe is a set of laws. The physical universe is composed of matter, energy, space, and time. And you're waiting for matter, energy, space, and time to give you something? It's a defeated viewpoint. I give it something. I move the mountains. Man succeeded when he drilled through the mountains, not when he obeyed the mountain and went around. Men succeeded when he controlled energy, not when he sat down and waited for energy to help him. When men succumb to the physical universe, to the universe, men succumb. When for men to improve, it needs to be senior to that. So when you have fake realities, when you have faulty knowledge, like, oh, I'm waiting for the universe to manifest. The universe gave me a sign. No, I give the signs. No, I'm the boss. The universe don't give me signs. I give the signs. I'm the boss, not the universe. Oh, the universe gave me a sign. I'm defeated. I'm useless because I'm waiting for a dead thing to give me signs. Really? Superstition. What is science? Science is really the hell with the science. We are going to understand and so control the atom, not obey the atom. So most people that talk about spirituality don't understand that what does it mean, the spirit. They cannot define the word spirit. They cannot define what it is, and so they're failing. And so how do you know they're failing? Because they advertise that they're an effect, not cause. They're waiting for the universe to give them something. They're waiting for something to manifest. I don't wait for something to manifest. I create it. I cause it. I'm the boss. Physical universe is my slave. I don't obey my body. I tell my body what to do. I don't serve my body. I tell my body what to do. I'm not a slave. That's the difference in viewpoint. Most of the people get educated to be useless. Be an effect. Oh, it is your mother that was bad to you. That's why you are. No, no, no. If I'm in this condition, it's because of me. It's not my mother. Oh, you had the bad luck. No, I didn't have the bad luck. I did not create good luck. I was born in a very poor family, in a town in the north of Israel. We've been bombed every night for years. My parents did not have money. My mother was a cleaner in the municipality, and my father was a policeman. No money, the problems. Not for me. I never considered it a problem. I looked at them and I was always like, you have problems with money? Are you joking? You're Jewish. What, you forgot that? Like, really? You have problems with money? I made more money than them by the age when I was 13 years old. Because so, I never agreed to the notion that I'm the effect of the environment. I'm the boss. Everyone bowed to me. Or everything, not everyone.
So how did you kind of like find out these kind of, how did you discover, how did you get these inspired ideas that knowledge allowed you to, you know, go from zero to $100 million? And I'm assuming you're going higher from there, from that age, because you're, you know, you're not 31 at the moment, I hope. And how did you continue getting these inspired ideas? What kind of routines or habits did you need to go through to kind of get there?
Again, no habits, because habit says that I'm useless, and so I need someone to be my boss. Tell me, oh, you have to do it at 7 a.m. I don't have habits. I do what's needed to bring the product, to bring the results. People that are looking for habits are already defeated because they need a habit to control them. You understand? When someone says, oh, you know, you need this habit of always doing that, you want me to be a robot. You understand? So the whole notion, most of the thing, most people are failing. Do you agree with that? Most people are failing?
Maybe.
Yeah, most people on more than half of the planet live on less than $5 per day. 80% of the US living or cannot pay the debt. Most people are failing. Most people are worried. Most people are not doing well. 50% of marriages end up in divorce. The other 50%, they wish they were not married, but they stay married. So it's really, there's a lot of problems. Yes, most people are failing. They don't reach their dreams. They don't actually achieve anything of value from their viewpoint. Why? They don't help people. Why? They're failing because they're doing something wrong. It's not because they're bad, but because this is what they really, really believe is correct. They're doing what's really, they believe it's correct, but it doesn't bring the expected result, which means that what most people believe is correct is incorrect. And since you cannot see that it's incorrect, because what you do is at any given moment, you do what you totally believe is the right thing to do. You're not going and say, okay, how am I going to destroy myself? You do whatever you can to do the right thing. How can I help myself and everyone else? But the result is not the expected result. Why it is? Because you know wrong. You really believe in things that are incorrect. You need science to help you to get out of the superstition that you're stuck in. And that's why I say that in order to improve, in order to get out, in order to make $100 million, what I did, I insisted on understanding each and every word I heard around me. Everything. I insisted to understand. I didn't take anything on face value. I didn't think and to take anything that someone told me because he knows. Because the source of the data is irrelevant. The data is relevant. And what's more relevant than the data is the principles behind the data. So everything I heard, I insisted to understand. Someone telling me, okay, the spirit is energy. Okay, good. What is the spirit? What is the energy? Define for me what energy is.
No, I don't know.
So how can you say it's energy? It's like saying the spirit is chakachuka. It's like exactly like saying the spirit is chakachuka. The universe give you. What is the universe? What is the universe? Define for me the universe. If you don't know, it's like you're saying the chakachuka give me. It's really a defeat. It's like if you don't have knowledge, you will not demonstrate control. If I don't teach you how to drive a car, you will have an accident. You will not have control over the car. If you don't really understand the mind, you will not have control over your mind. You'll have thoughts all the time that will drive you crazy because there's no control. If you don't understand the knowledge on how to handle relationship, your mom that loves you will destroy you because you don't control her. If you don't really have knowledge in an area, the end result is destruction or not getting the expected result. And but you sure that the knowledge that you have is correct. The only way that you can actually fix yourself is look and see the expected result is not there. So obviously, unbeknown to you, what you believe is truth is a glaring, big, unbelievable lie. And you now need to start and say, okay, fine. So I know that what I consider as truth is false. How do I find results? How do I actually find knowledge that bring results? You look at someone that bring results uniformly. You find someone like me or someone else that actually have results, and he gives you data, and you take this data, and you need to make sure that you don't compare it to what you know, because what you know is broken. So if you compare it to what you know, it's broken. No, you use it and look, does it bring results? I don't care if you agree with it. I care if you understand it. Understand it, try it, see if it brings result. Why? Because when I tell you something, you check against what you already know. But if what you already know is broken, you will not agree with that. If this is five people, this guy is a genius and this guy is a super stupid guy, yes? And the genius says something, the second person maybe will say, maybe he understand, maybe. This guy will probably not understand at all. This guy will attack you and this guy will kill you. So now you've got these people, they all compare to something that is wrong. And what you get is wrongness, because this guy invented something new, invented something that actually worked. So what you should do is never compare things to what you already know, but compare things to the results that brought with them. Are you with me?
Yes. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
Online. So we are all over. You can look for Meir Ezra Official. And on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. We are all over. And gprosperity.com is the website. There is ton of free material. One warning, everything I'm going to teach you, you will not agree with. It will be different. It will be different because it works. So don't check if you agree with that. Apply it. Apply it. If it works, continue. If it doesn't work, throw it away.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.